Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. O haughty one, you will have two contemptuous sons born of your condemned womb. Unlucky woman, they will cause constant lamentation to all the three worlds. Purport. Contemptuous sons are born of the condemned womb of their mother. In Bhagavad Gita 1.40, it is said, when there is deliberate negligence of the regulative principles of religious life, the women as a class become polluted, and as a result there are unwanted children. This is especially true for boys. If the mother is not good, there cannot be good sons. The learned Kashyapa could foresee the character of the sons who would be born of the condemned womb of Diti. The womb was condemned because of the mother's being too sexually inclined and thus transgressing all the laws and injunctions of the scriptures. In a society where such women are predominant, one should not expect good children. Translation again. O haughty one, you will have two contemptuous sons born of a condemned womb. Unlucky woman, they will cause constant lamentation to all the three worlds. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I didn't realize I was giving class today. It's completely though I made the roster. Got caught completely off guard. So here, Kashyapa Muni is telling his wife that they're going to have two contemptuous sons will take birth from a womb. And it's interesting, he uses the word, O haughty one, haughty. And he's also prophesizing that these two sons will be the cause of great misfortune for the whole world. Actually, not only for the world, but for the entire universe. So we know the two sons of Kashyapa and Diti are Hiranyakashipu and Hiranyaksha. So these two brothers, they were very notorious. And they caused havoc, not only on planet Earth, but throughout the whole universe. As we know, Hiranyakashipu, by his yogic perfections and mysticism, he was able to trick Brahma, and he got these benedictions from Brahma, and as a result he was able to conquer the whole universe. And he harassed all living entities, the Brahmanas and everyone else.
And the demigods.
And the demigods. Thank you. So, yeah. And then Hiranyaksha, the earth fell in the Garbhodak ocean, and then the Lord had to come and lift the earth, as this past time we just heard very recently. And then there was a fight between Hiranyaksha and Lord Bor. And the reason these two contemptuous sons were born, of course we know there's a Leela behind it also, how Jai and Vijay, they were cursed by the Kumaras, by the four Kumaras, when they wanted to enter the spiritual world. They were denied entry by the gatekeepers, Jai and Vijay. And so they were cursed, and then they were cursed to be in the material world as demons. So that's the pastime, of course. But one instruction we are getting in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that when there is unwanted progeny, or when there is conception takes place in an impure state of mind, that gives rise to children who are not with a disturbed mind, and they create havoc in society, and there is no peace. Thank you, Prabhu. So yes, and this is also this dilemma Arjuna also faced in the Bhagavad Gita. Srila Prabhupada is referencing to Bhagavad Gita, chapter 1, text number 40. So where this verse, adharma bhi bhavat Krishna pradushyanti kulastriya strishu dushtasu varshneya jayate varna shankara. So varna shankara population means unwanted children. So they take place when the conception is not done properly. So in the Vedic times, the Garbhadhan samskar was very prominent. So in the Garbhadhan samskar, before conception, the parents, they try to, not try, but the whole idea behind that is that one doesn't beget children like cats and dogs. So cats and dogs, they beget children anywhere, anytime, right? They don't think much about how to conceive. They just get lusty, and then in the animal kingdom, we know that for a female, all the males they fight, and whoever wins, and then they mate. And in currently in human society, more or less the same thing is happening in a much more sophisticated and glamorous way. But there's not much thought behind conception. And sex life is more or less seen for recreation. Or even if people plan to have children, but there's not much thought how to, what are the consequences of conceiving at a particular time and under a certain consciousness. There's not much thought about that. So, because people have a poor fund of knowledge, they're in ignorance. So, they just conceive without knowing the ramifications of conceiving. But as we know, that when the mind is polluted, then we attract living entities who are also polluted. It's like at the time of death, whatever we think of, we get the next body, we get accordingly. So similarly, at the time of conception, whatever the state of mind is of the parents, then a certain type of living entity is attracted in the womb. Therefore, the Garbhadhan samskar, Srila Prabhupada emphasizes a lot on the Garbhadhan samskar for the Grihasthas. If we want to conceive, then we have to purify the mind. We have to live a devotional life. We have to be Krishna conscious. And also, before conception, there's the whole Garbhadham samskar is there, chanting 50, 54 rounds, whatever the prescribed number of rounds is there. And the whole idea is to purify the mind and to engage, to be Krishna conscious at that time. And still, of course, there's no guarantee that the child will be Krishna conscious. And even after that, so much effort has to be put. But Garbhadhan samskar is very essential in human society if good progeny is needed. So Arjuna had a similar dilemma where one of the reasons Arjuna didn't want to fight the war was he felt that if he fights, if he engages in this war with the Kauravas, then the result of that will be so many men will die. Because it happened to be that the whole world was a world war. And different kings had sided. There were two parties, the Pandavas and the Kauravas. So all the kings in the world, they had sided with either one. So it was more or less, it was a world war. And Arjuna could foresee that the result of this war will be many men will die. And when many men will die, there will be many widows. There will be many widows, and because it was a world war, so many elders will also die. We know, like, even elders like Bhishma Pitama, he was fighting. So there were many, as Arjuna says in the Bhagavad Gita, they are my grandfathers, my fathers, my uncles, my friends, my sons on the opposing side. So Arjuna could foresee that there's going to be a lot of carnage and a lot of people are going to die. And the result of that, because there are no elders in society, culture will be lost. Tradition will be lost. And there will be many widows. And as it states in the purport, also in the Bhagavad Gita, that women and children, they need protection. Of course, everyone needs protection. But especially women and children, because they're more vulnerable. And it's the duty of men to offer that protection. So Arjuna could see, because there's going to be a lot of carnage, so there were very high chances that the women could get polluted, and the result of that will be unwanted progeny. So and these days, in the modern context, the men cannot offer any protection because they are so weak, and they lack integrity and character, and they lack spiritual knowledge. So what protection can they offer? So here Srila Prabhupada states, when there is deliberate negligence of the regulative principles of religious life, the women as a class become polluted, and as a result there are unwanted children. So today we can see there is deliberate negligence. People are not interested in knowing about Krishna. People are not interested in religiosity, in dharma. Everyone is interested in artha and kama. So because there is deliberate negligence, and especially modern society, everyone wants to become independent. People don't realize that they are interdependent. Everyone is interdependent. So, but in modern context, everyone wants to be independent. And if there are any rules and regulations, people are very much against it. Especially the Western mindset is no rules and regulations. Live your life any way you want to live it. No one should dictate how you should live your life. So because of this deliberate negligence of the regulative principles, there is no dharma in society, and the result of that is unwanted population. And what is the result of unwanted population? There is chaos. So we see today there is so much crime, all because of unwanted population. Crime, social upheavals. That's the result, because the children being born are so disturbed in their mind. In America, we can see that young kids, they're roaming around with a gun and shooting people. You see that in schools, there's mass shootings going on. Like, you know, recently, and even in a church. Like one kid went and killed some people in a church. They're sitting in a church, and just imagine, you know, you're having a class, someone comes and opens fire. So because they are so disturbed in their mind. In Australia also we can see that the children are pretty much out of control. And the teachers and parents are having a very hard time to control their kids, and they're becoming more and more violent, and also very weak character. So that's because there's a lack of culture. There's lack of culture, training, and knowledge.
Television.
Television leads to a lack of all that. And what they're saying on television and media, as Mahatma Prabhu mentioned, that is further degrading whatever good values are left. So today we can see that not only there are unwanted children in terms of impure consciousness, but also because of illicit sex, so many children are born and they're being aborted. That's another result which is happening. So because of uncontrolled sex life, there's no regulation with sex life. People are just engaging, out of recreation, and the result of that sometimes is pregnancy. And then so many women and sometimes parents also, they want to abort. So that is also a result of, you can also say that's unwanted children and they're killing them. So we can see that now murder is also taking place right in the womb. And Srila Prabhupada, he very heavily condemned that. So Srila Prabhupada's formula for birth control was very simple. He said, don't have sex. Stop illicit sex. And that's birth control. You don't need to use other forms of birth control. So that was Srila Prabhupada's formula. Of course, to do that, one has to, be a little Krishna conscious. Otherwise, it's very difficult. So I'd like to just read this purport in Bhagavad Gita and then we can discuss that. When irreligion is prominent in the family, O Krishna, the women of the family become polluted, and from the degradation of womanhood, O descendant of Rishni, comes unwanted progeny. So this is the verse Srila Prabhupada is quoting in his purport. Good population in human society is the basic principle for peace, prosperity, and spiritual progress in life. So yeah, we can see today because the population is, of course it will be a big offense if we tell someone the population is not good. But in this context, what Srila Prabhupada means, good population is a population which has spiritual values, which is spiritually inclined. It is progressive. There is varnashram. So when there's a lack of all that, the population is heading in the wrong direction. And because of that, naturally there won't be any peace. The Varnashram religion's principles were so designed that the good population would prevail in society for the general spiritual progress of state and community. Such population depends on the chastity and faithfulness of its womanhood. So we can see that women have a very big role in society. They have a big responsibility to, as Prabhupada says, depends on the chastity and faithfulness of its womanhood. So, good population is more or less dependent on the women. So women have a very big role, very huge responsibility. That's why in the Vedic culture, women are addressed as Matajis. They are mothers. So they have a very important role to play. So much because a man doesn't know what to do with children. Because men cannot, it's very difficult for men to emotionally connect. Especially when the kids are very young. Before five, don't know much what's going on. It's very hard to relate. So women have a very important responsibility to provide good population, good children. And that only comes from, as Srila Prabhupada says, when women are faithful and they're chaste. So the in Vedic culture, the training for women is mainly chastity. So when there is lack of chastity, then naturally, then if there's a lack of chastity, then there will be illicit relationships going on, and then there is unwanted progeny, and then there is no peace in society. So we can see even in ISKCON, this culture is being imparted. Srila Prabhupada, he set up this culture and this training. So Srila Prabhupada, he even in the Western societies, even created ashrams for women. So these are facilities where women are offered protection and they are offered training. Because in the Western society, there's no Krishna conscious culture, and there's no setup, there's no society. Of course, ISKCON is there. But the general society is not very favorable to these values. So Srila Prabhupada, he set up these ashrams to give both men and women a chance to be Krishna conscious, and also to learn, develop these other qualities. Learn how to be chaste, develop character, develop a service attitude. And further on, Srila Prabhupada says, as children are very prone to be misled, women are similarly very prone to degradation. Therefore, both children and women require protection by the elder members of the family. So as I was saying before, a woman has to be protected in her, as Prabhupada also mentions many times, many places in his Bhaktivedanta purports, in a youth by her father, sorry, in her, when she's young by her father, when she's married by her husband, and in her later years by her son. So this was the Vedic culture. And I said, as I was saying before, that these days, one of the reasons women want to be so independent is because the men have failed to offer that protection. And in fact, the men have exploited the women. So because the men have exploited the women, women want to be independent. But that also is not helping them. It's like a very difficult situation. And we can see all over the world that the men are so irresponsible. There's so much rape going on. They abuse them physically. There's domestic violence. Especially in India, the rates are so high. India is the land of dharma. But these problems are there. And because men have failed to offer protection, then the women want to be independent. And we know Srila Prabhupada, and many reporters, they interviewed Srila Prabhupada, and some of the female reporters, they brought this issue up. They were saying that they would raise this issue, how they would read Bhagavad Gita and they would say, here it says that women and children require protection. Why is that? You know, and it was very difficult for them to understand that. They were saying that, you know, women can be independent and they don't need protection. But Srila Prabhupada had to explain to them that, you know, women require protection and the men have failed in their duty. Therefore, the women are independent, but that is also not helping them. So, in a proper society, the men have to be qualified, have to be trained, and the women have to be trained. And when both are trained, and when the men are protecting the women, they will give rise to good population. And when there is good population, peace will prevail in society. So today's society, modern society, is exactly the opposite, and therefore there's no peace, and there's so many wars going on, and there's so much social chaos. Further on, Prabhupada says, by being engaged in various religious practices, women will not be misled into adultery. So this is true both for women and men. If men are not engaged in Krishna consciousness, they'll also be misled into adultery. So to be Krishna conscious is for both the men and the women. And in Kali Yuga, the four sinful activities are very prominent. So if we want to rise above the sinful activities, we have to be Krishna conscious. And without being Krishna conscious, it's very difficult to go against the tide. And sooner or later, one will trip if one is not Krishna conscious. Because that's the environment in which we are operating. So I'll leave it there, see if you have any comments or questions on this subject matter. Yes, Prabhu.
One comment. If you read Harishchandra's book,
which book?
Translated by Harishchandra. He's mentioning a lot of things Prabhupada was discussing about men and women. Once one woman came to Prabhupada and she was complaining bitterly about the man. And she said, we want equal opportunity. So Srila Prabhupada said, you cannot help her, Guruji, because can your husband ordinarily produce children?
You can.
The husband, can he give children? So it's not possible. The equality is not. Prabhupada has given many. This is one of the arguments.
We are not the same. We have different bodies, so we cannot perform. Biologically, we are not the same.
Exactly.
But in Krishna consciousness, we are more or less offered the same opportunities. In terms of service, both men and women, you know, can do the same services. excuse me. If they qualify for that particular service, it doesn't matter whether it's a male or a female. They can do that in Krishna consciousness. But of course, biologically we are different. And a man cannot give birth. You know, only a woman can give birth. And physically also, we are different in terms of, you know, males in general are more physically strong in general. So physically we are different, biologically we are different, but spiritually we are the same, we are the spirit soul. And in fact everyone is Prakriti, the supreme male is Krishna. And in Krishna consciousness we have equal opportunities to advance.
In fact, he is the only person.
Sorry?
He is the only male person.
Yeah.
Or we all are females.
Yeah.
The different bodies.
Thank you.
Besides television, internet is another thing. You want to see something, and they show you so many things. It's a very good time.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be a very distracting tool, but if used properly, it can be very useful. Yeah. Most people misuse it.
And as I said, women can do better studies, Krishna consciousness. They are more sincere.
Ha ha. Yeah, both men and women have to be Krishna conscious to have an ideal family life. But in depends. Some women want to are outgoing. They want to take up roles. And that's also fine, whatever suits them. It's not only that they have to be at home, they can do other things as well. And Srila Prabhupada encouraged the women to take up roles and responsibilities in ISKCON.
Especially preaching.
Yeah, and women are very good at preaching because women are very good at cultivation. They have that nurturing side, and they can take care very nicely of the guests. Okay. And we have seen that in our programs. If we just have all men there in a preaching center, it just looks a bit weird. The people ask, "Are there any women around?" Then one time we were doing programs in La Trobe University, and it was us brahmacharis only. And then some of the guests, they asked, "Are there any women as part of this group, or it's only you guys?" And some of them were thinking we were gay or something like that. So in presenting Krishna consciousness, it's very important to have a balanced approach. So they were finding it hard to relate to us because all of us were men. So they needed to see a bit of a balance. No other question or comment, we'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.